Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help. You save. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome to the latest United East Ham podcast. John Ashton's here, Ant Shaw's here, Stu Edwards is here, Bloom is here, and I thought I'd come back and do one. Big game Charlie and all this kind of stuff. How are we doing, boys?
Good, yeah. I'm happy with that. Some great fight on show today. Despite everything going against us injury-wise, you know, United really... I'd go as far as to say is that that's the... I haven't seen that type of performance from United for about... maybe even before Ferguson left as well. You know, I thought we were a real lot of effort, despite everything against us, and we weren't going to lose. You know, we weren't going to lie down.
Is it just me who thought it wasn't very good?
I'll probably come back and agree with you at some point on that one. Yeah. So basically, what you're saying is we haven't put any effort in since Ferguson left.
No, it was like everything went against us. And 8 months ago, if we'd have been in that position at half time, we'd have just gone into our shape and tried stopping them scoring, but. We actually threatened more than Liverpool did in the second half with half our team out. You know, five academy lads on the field as well. You know, there's a lot of effort there, I thought.
Yeah, I think considering what happened with in terms of injuries and obviously losing three players before half-time, you'd probably have to say that's a better result for United than it was for Liverpool. I don't think they ever really looked like threatening like scoring.
I thought they were fucking awful.
You've got to give United some credit for that. You know, it stops them playing. You know, Mo Salah has been... What is his top scorer in the league? Didn't even have a chance.
He never has
a
kick against us, does he?
No, I just think both were pretty poor. They looked pretty nervous from the start, both sides, to be honest. So it's not a bad result considering. But
I was actually quite surprised coming out because I was really happy with the performance. I don't think it could have gone much better under the circumstances.
Didn't feel like a tough day, did it?
No, not at all. That's what I mean. And United were a lot of running today. You know, we lost to Herrera earlier, who's been doing the majority of our running. I do wonder if some of these injuries might be because we're doing a bit more running than we were, you know, under Mourinho. And I think it was a great effort by United today.
Oh, well, considering it's the greatest Liverpool side since the late 70s, then if that's all they've got, it's a pretty piss poor show, isn't it? You know, if they're top of the league, aren't they? The top of the league, is it goal difference or 1 point or whatever it is? But you know, if that's what the bar is, then we're not far away, are we?
If you watch Liverpool over the last four or five games, they've been. You take the Bournemouth game out of that, they've been sort of hanging on a little
bit, and absolutely bottling.
Whereas City, you're moving up in a game.
You can even see it even the fans. I mean, considering they're a title chasing team, that was one of the worst away ends I've ever seen at Old Trafford today. Considering where they're up to, I mean, they were absolutely pathetic. You can see there's a nervousness about them, and United should have been there for the taking today. For a team that was, you know, you'd have dreaded what if we'd have played City today, you'd have dreaded what would the outcome would have been with the injuries we had out. Yeah. I'm not that convinced by Liverpool. I think they're a good side, but I'm not convinced they're a great team.
It certainly wasn't a great spectacle, was it? I think I can see where Ant's coming from. If you'd have said before the game that before half time you were forced to make three subs and and lose a rare, especially with Matic not being there, you'd have probably took a point before the game.
I can't remember that ever happening before where they've had to use all three subs.
It always seems to happen that we got someone subbed twice as well.
it's the body language as well. I mean, like, United had three subs before half time. Solskjaer's still, you know, working hard on the touchline. He's not feeling sorry for himself like one of our previous managers would have done. Just, you know, get out Liverpool, still
calling. Just fucking get over Mourinho.
No, it's true though. Can you not feel a complete change in mood? Because I do. We'd have fucking lay down and lost that easily.
We were all saying before as well, I mean, even though we'd used up all our subs, we'd have all still took Lukaku off as well. do you know what he looks like? And I said to a mate before, I said, he looks like, you know when you watch the soccer aid and you see one of the celebrities up front? That's what he fucking looks like. You see all these professionals running about. Clarence Seedorf running in the show, and then it comes to Paddy McGuinness, and he can't control the ball. Well, that's what he looks like.
You know, I missed about five or six podcasts. I come back, he's moaning about Mourinho, you're slagging Lukaku off. There's fucking no change, is there? Nothing's fucking changed.
No, it's with Lukaku, the things that's annoying me about him is he's putting a lot of effort in. You know, I can't fault his effort today. Brilliant.
It is.
Lukaku. I thought you put a lot of it. Watch it back. He put loads of effort in today. The only difference is that the only thing that annoys me is that his main strength should be his strength.
Yeah, his belly.
And he never gets his body in the way of the ball and the man, and I don't understand it.
For someone who's that big, he gets pushed off so easy. Can't even win an header, considering the size of him as well.
If we played with 10 men today.
It's a fucking buffet, you wouldn't get pushed out of the way, would it? There was a period in the second half where between him and Pereira and Young, not one of them could actually hold on to it for a minute, and it was just pinging around it was embarrassing.
They didn't get him down, did they? They fucking put in a lot of effort in.
Well, that's why I think it's not a bad result, because it's clearly Lukaku's not good enough if you want to, you know, you want to hit the heights. And I don't want to slag young players off, but I mean, it's pretty clear Pereira and McTominay are not the level required to be Manchester United players either.
Brilliant today, though. I agree with what you're saying.
He did okay, but then.
It says a lot, though, that Fred's not getting in before them two.
Solskjaer's clearly not heard the lyrics to that fucking song that everyone won't stop singing, has he? Yeah. Well, just before the game, obviously, you bring up McTominay. There was a lot of, almost like everybody who came and get a mag offers, have you heard the team news? Fucking McTominay's playing. It was almost like there was a lot of doom around over that.
Fucking fell 10 feet tall, wasn't it? And then he comes out with a performance like that.
I thought he did well.
I think he did okay. I mean, the one thing about him is, Where he's really done badly is you don't want to see him in there with Matic and Herrera. You want to see him in there instead of one of them, you know, so you're not got three of the same sort of player. I thought he did okay, but...
Without passing the ball forward.
Let's get him sideways, won't he?
He's getting to that same situation with, like, because Moyes bought Fellaini, and, like, he was like Mourinho, some of those Mourinho's, but everyone's giving him... I feel sorry for him. Everyone's getting a lot of shit.
No, fair play to him. He's not started a game since before I can remember, before Christmas. And he's been thrown in against, you know, this top Liverpool side. And he's done a job. He put quite a few fires out, didn't he? You know, he put quite a few fires out, but he's not. I don't think his game is great, you know, passing a 15, 20 yard pass onto whoever's running through. That's not his game, I don't think. No. And that's what we missed today, because obviously Herrera doesn't really do that either. And you know, Matic does to a certain degree, but we're missing that midfielder still, aren't we? Still, 6-7 years later.
Michael Carrick's probably still the best midfielder at that club, and he's sat on the fucking coach's bench.
I got shit for saying this the other day, because people are still obsessed with us needing a new centre-half, and I said that I think United are more in need of a midfielder than we are a centre-half, from my opinion. I still stick with that, because it just shows today, you take one of them out, you take two of them out, and we really are at the bare bones. And even when he looks against us, like against PSG, we're still lacking that sort of controlling midfield. You kind of hope Pogba had set the game by the scruff of the neck a little bit today, but it's not really his game. You want somebody who can put a foot on the ball and can control the tempo of the game.
I think he realised, though, once they went out, he did put a shift in after that.
Oh, big time. I couldn't agree more on that. I thought, even though it was probably his most ineffective game in terms of creating stuff, I thought it was one of his better games for putting some tackles in, tracking back.
He's not known for.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I liked about it today. He stood up today and thought, shit, I'm going to have to be the main man here now. And he did put shift in, can't fault him for that.
Yeah. Something that struck me was Liverpool were clearly playing better football in the first half. United weren't creating a huge amount. But at the same time, United looked like when they did get behind, they looked more likely to score. But it was almost like they'd got to half time and thinking, you know, the fans were thinking, right, second half, it's going to be a case of holding on here. And the crowd proper got into it, and United started to play better. And I thought Liverpool's second half, they barely troubled
United.
That's
right, they looked happy with the point. I mean, you could see both sides didn't really know whether to stick or twist, did they? You know, neither side wanted to commit too much, nobody wanted to lose the game. But for me, Liverpool would never get a better chance to come, because their record at Old Trafford's pretty appalling over the last 20 years. But they wouldn't have had a better chance to come, especially with them so desperate for points, to come and properly have a go at United and take a few more risks, and I don't think they did it.
They were crap, Liverpool. They really were. And I thought, you know, credit has to go to United for that. You know, players like McTominay and Pereira playing in such key roles in midfield.
You know, I think the best four players on the pitch though were the four centre halves today, which I think speaks.
Their front three or four again, you know, they're meant to be like this all star, or you know, top three or four.
They are though, aren't they? They're good
on the day, but today, what did they do? What did any of them do? Mane, I didn't see him run anybody. Salah was on the touch.
He's more of a threat than Salah for me.
Salah was hugging the touch line, didn't get a kick really. You know, Firmino, his teeth were white. That's about it.
Honestly, if United can add a bit of quality over the next 12 months. I think we'll hammer them.
That's we're not far away based on that today with a couple of players, aren't we?
Do you know what? And a couple of pundits have picked up on it this week, finally. But I don't think Solskjaer's got all this credit for, you know, putting his arm around players, getting smart. I don't think his people have given him enough credit tactically, because he's outsmarted pretty much all the managers he's come up against. Again, we look more. The performance, I dare say, at Chelsea was a most Mourinho-ist sort of performance we've had. For a long time, because he's gone there and he's proper did a number on him tactically, and he was rock solid defensively. And I don't think he's getting enough credit tactically, Solskjaer. For people just think, you know, it's an old nostalgic thing of why he's come back. But I think he's got a bit more nous about him than people give him credit for.
Him plus Mike Feeling.
Well, I was going to say, how much of an impact do you think Feeling is? Because I think Feeling is clearly having a massive impact.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the one who's on the touchline most of the time, isn't he? I think I saw Ollie a couple of times there today, but as a rule, Feeling's out there pretty much most of the match, and he's going to have an influence. He's, you know, he's worked with Fergie for 20 years, and it's in his blood, isn't it? And you know, that can only be a good thing, along with Carrick. So the three of them, I'm missing out obviously what's his face, but them three have got so much knowledge, and Feeling knows how to set up. Even, you know, you'd have thought that Feeling was like has been left behind maybe with the current, you know, style of play, you know, compared to when he was here with Fergie. But he's clearly been watching a lot of football, and he's with it. Fair play to him.
No, I think he's having a massive impact.
Domestically, United, they've conceded 7 goals in 13 games, United. Yeah. When you consider we've been to Chelsea, we've been to Arsenal, we've been to Tottenham, we've had Liverpool at home, you know, something's, you know, and it's not like we're playing defensive football either, generally. I know it was a bit negative today, but he didn't really have much choice with the options he had up front. But, I think suddenly the team looks rock solid.
It's not as if De Gea has been bailing us out, has he? Like he maybe was earlier in the season. So
The thing that strikes me is what they're not scared of is making a mistake now, and I think that was something that they were absolutely frightened to death of cocking up under Mourinho tactically. That's they ended up paralysing
that's
themselves.
Why? Because you wouldn't see him for the next 3-4 weeks, would you? So it's
the freedom of allowing
apart from Lukaku,
apart from him,
especially young players to make mistakes. You just don't make them like Pereira did against Burnley, in that area of the pitch. But you know, everyone's going to make mistakes, especially young players.
Yeah. Do you look at that as 2 points dropped if you're in Liverpool's shoes, or a point gain given how bad they played?
Oh, I think Liverpool played for a point. I think they look happy with it. But considering the injury problems United have had, I think they should see that as 2 points dropped, because, like I said, I think United were there. We did well, but I think they were there for the taking. A top team would have beaten United today.
I think they're lucky to get away with it, considering De Gea didn't make a save all game.
I was a couple of minutes away from the end, but I don't know unless he saved one in the last minute.
Fucking shocking, Liverpool.
Really. Yeah, I don't think he did make a save, did he? It was a game of probably about 3 or 4 shots on target. We had probably 2 of the best ones. Alisson didn't have much to do either, to be fair. He did well for Lingard, I believe. I think the one second half, again, maybe Pogba giving that opportunity again, a bit more time in, he thought, but maybe realised, maybe he could have chested it. It wasn't a great header. So, you know, all in all, normally, there's a lot more chances normally in United Liverpool games. But that was partly about how they set up as well. And obviously, how we had to dig in and defend. So, it wasn't a great spectacle on the goal front, was it?
Yeah. Wednesday night's going to be hard work going down there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They're a tough team. They scored 4 again yesterday at the Palace. Yeah, no, it's that was. We've got a good record down there. We always seem to get a result at the Palace. But the one thing I will say about United is, though, we still seem to look better away from home than we do at home. I think the way he seems set up, particularly Rashford looks injured to me today as well. He was another one I thought was hobbling around for a lot of the pitch.
If you can get
Martial back fit, I think those sort of games do suit United a little bit more than at home, where the onus is on you to attack a little bit more. But you can sit back and hit them on the break, but no, it will be a tough game.
It's going to have to be 4 or 5 changes, won't there? That's the sad reality. And even ones who managed to the last 90 minutes today, you know, they're going to have to be patched up. You know, they've done a lot of running, and it's only 3 days away. It's going to be tough down there Wednesday.
Yeah, Palace. The thing with that though is there's going to be a couple of players who finish the game today who are likely to now start on Wednesday night. That's not going to do the likes of McTominay, Pereira any harm, is it? Getting a bit of game time.
I think what we've got to look at is, as well, we know our squad's a bit thin. we knew that before kickoff today, and what we're looking at is we just want to see like a team starting to form and a mood starting to lift, and I really do think we're seeing that. I really left the ground today feeling like United had given everything they could against it. You know, let's not, you know, I know Liverpool say they play badly, but they played badly because United didn't allow them to play, and I just think there's a lot to be positive about. And if United can add four players in the summer, I really do think, you know, we're really going to start.
Where do United need to add in the summer?
Definitely midfield, full-back, and it's probably go with another up top as well.
I've gone from worrying about centre-half to now thinking we're actually probably more solid than any team in the league at centre-half now.
I still think we need one. I'm Chris Smalling, one of Smalling's biggest fans. I wouldn't even dream of selling him, but I still think he has limitations, and you know, it'd be great to just use him like Ferguson used to use him.
You have to think that one or two are going to get moved on as well, so it's, I think we do.
I think if you can get a centre-half, you would still get one. You know, it's not an either-or option here, but I just think that it's not the be-all and end-all like everyone's putting that to the top of the list. I think a right-back, a right-sided attacker and a central midfielder, I would put all ahead of a centre-back.
Yeah, you won't like Ashley Young's playing another 50 games next season.
No, he's not one any great squad player, great ball to have around, but you can't realistically have a 33-year-old converted left-winger playing right-back for
a team. I thought he was really clever today, just some of his little nudges.
He actually had like quite a bad few touches early on as well, and but he's just... It's Wiley, isn't it?
Yeah, he's just a really, Wiley player, really smart, experienced old. What, just on that though, something that surprised me in the second half, which I think is where Liverpool were a bit naive. United, no more subs. You'd have gone through on a couple of them, wouldn't you? You'd have put somebody out, wouldn't you? Or
Henderson off, didn't he?
Well, in a way, I think because I think when he sent what's that midget called? Shaqiri. Yeah, when he came on, when he came on, he clearly was told go nobble somebody,
and he did.
Yeah, I can't remember who he went through on, but
Milner went through someone again, didn't he? Quite high up the pitch.
I think he went on Sanchez.
Could have got a second yellow, maybe.
Yeah, I'm just surprised they weren't smarter with that. They could have got United out of 10 men with ease, and without any sanction to themselves, maybe a booking or two. But they should have probably attempted to take another United player.
There's a bloke who sits near me, and he always hurls abuse at opposition players based on where they're from, but like inoffensive things about the country. So every time when Salah went off, he's like, "I'll see you later, you pyramid twat." And Shaqiri was a Toblerone cunt.
You pyramid twat.
Pyramid twat, yeah. Toblerone cunt.
Mountainous bastard.
Yeah, that reminds me of when Ryan Roberts called Duncan Castle a newspaper bastard. dunk your head disgusting in my arse, you disgusting newspaper bastard. Yeah, yeah.
What did he shout at Lukaku?
Yeah, great. Yeah, you probably couldn't get a word in edgeways over John on that one. Obviously, a couple of games coming up now, which you'd think on paper United away at Palace, but then is it Southampton at home next? No, you know, again, they should be able to get. You're looking at 4-6 from there, aren't you?
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll. But the injuries is a worry, isn't it? Because we're going to be on our feet, aren't we, on Wednesday?
Matic isn't injured, apparently. He's back in Serbia or something. I don't know if he had some sort of family issue. So I heard, anyway. So I don't know. Maybe he'll be back.
Maybe. So we need, you know, we're short on in legs, but I just think maybe give Fred a chance as well. You know,
what's actually up with him? Is he just not?
Just shit. He's absolutely wanked.
The likes of Chong as well, isn't it? You know, some of the two. You expect at least two or three are going to make the bench, at least on Wednesday. A few biting at the bit, aren't they? So again,
chuck one of them in. We're giving players an opportunity to surprise us as well. You know, you just knew what was going to happen before.
Yeah, I think that,
he's just a brilliant mood around it.
I think might be involved soon as well.
And it's easier to do it when obviously you know, as a fan, you couldn't when you know 10 o'clock Wednesday night, Thursday morning, you couldn't criticise Solskjaer, could you? If we get beat. Whatever, 1-0, 2-1, 3-1. If he's thrown a couple of lads in, because this is the perfect opportunity to do it when you're stretched and you've got that almost free pass to put a couple of young lads in.
Yeah. I mean, what's top four looking like now? Did Arsenal win today?
Yeah.
I mean, they were two up at half time.
Tottenham's still 9 points ahead of us, aren't they? So
is that inferred?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no one's. How far are United ahead of Arsenal? We should know this sort of stuff before we start talking about it on fucking podcast.
You can't worry about them, surely.
Well, no, it was just a point of how much of United, in theory, got in hand where they could probably just...
Arsenal are now fourth, 1 point ahead.
Just ditch it, so they're ahead of United.
Chelsea can go ahead of us, 1 point ahead, can't they, if they win their game in hand.
They won't do.
Excellent. Thursday nights and Sundays all next season.
We're back down to fucking six.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
United, Joe's right.
I
I think.
Do you remember that time we stayed in sixth, having won nine on the fucking trot? Yeah, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it? Just on obviously the situation regarding management, then I'm interested to know where you currently stand on this, because obviously he's done a great job of coming in as an interim, doing everything that we thought he would, which was to just be nice to everybody, smile a bit, and say all the right things, wear the blazer. But it does seem now as if he's starting to add a few more things to the obvious. So where do you stand on? Do you let him keep it?
Oh, 100%, yeah. I think the problem another manager would have as well, though, is they're kind of on an eye into nothing straight away, because if he comes in under so much pressure to say, well, you know, if you've gone with this guy ahead of someone who was getting results, you know, you're under pressure straight away. So, yeah, I don't see any... I can't think of a single reason why you wouldn't give it Solskjaer right now. He's proved himself tactically. You know, the transfer window might be one obstacle that he's got a bit of inexperience in. But then again, they're talking about Pochettino, and he never gets to buy anyone either, does he? So I'm not sure there's a massive advantage there.
I think United have got to give it him now. I think I was a big fan of the Spurs manager for a long time, and although I agreed with Ollie coming in till the end of the season, I did think that he would eventually make way. But I think they're doing that well now. You know, the mood around the ground, you know, even selling a fanzine, you sense it. You just get the feeling that United are going to surprise you all the time, rather than actually just slip to what was used to be inevitable, you know, outcomes. But yeah, I just think, like John said as well, you can't really give it someone else now, because they're straight away saying, yeah, but what about Solskjaer? You know, he was doing well. Why did you get rid of him? So yeah, maybe we might look back on it and think it was a bit of a Liverpool Dalglish moment, where they gave it impermanent after a good 5 months and it turned out to be a disaster. But I do believe that United can't miss the opportunity now.
Yeah, study obviously end of February, you know, after whatever he's been in charge, 12, 14 games, whatever it is. I totally agree. I think he's got to get it. But at the same time, they've got to then back him a couple hundred million in the summer and almost a 2-year free pass, because obviously that's crucial. Can't just expect him to go win the league next year. So back him. And the other interesting thing is, maybe if there's going to be one, a director of football, what role that is, you know, what role will he have regarding signings in the summer and beyond? So a director of football could be quite interesting as well.
Yeah, I think things are shooting now. There was a point where I thought, oh, if we don't go for Pochettino, we're gonna miss out on something there. But I think it's looking at the results in it now, and I just think he's on a roll, and I do think it's pretty much nailed on. Now, the mood and everything.
I mean,
yeah,
even McTominay today, like before kickoff, you think if he was brought in again in a game like this, you know, like you really wouldn't fancy him. But you just get the sense that players are going to surprise you now, because. You know, they're really...
It's probably really saying some, I believe in, you know, you can, you know, I know you're decent, you can put in a shift and...
Yeah. The thing is, that now the players, though, there's nowhere for the players to hide now either, because I know that with hindsight, they probably did the right thing the way Mourinho behaved, but let's get one thing straight. If the players put in the same sort of shifts that they did under Mourinho under Solskjaer, they will not get the same leeway with the supporters that they did. You know, Mourinho took the brunt of it all, perhaps rightly so, but under Solskjaer that won't happen. You know that Solskjaer will have the fans back ahead of any player that's on that pitch for United, so there's nowhere for the players to hide at all.
Yeah. I'm in that camp now where I, regardless of what I think United are now in a position where they just can't not give it to him, because of the reason you just give, which is if they did give it somebody else, and if it comes to say September, October, and United are eighth or whatever it is, then it'll all be blah blah blah. The interesting dynamic will be, though, let's say he does get it permanently, because this is the thing, this is the Solskjaer factor. At what point can you see fans turning on him? Because you kind of get the impression that you could take us down to the fucking Vanarama League and nobody would bat an eyelid.
To be honest, I mean, United, I don't think United fans
still be singing that fucking song.
I think United fans are quite good with managers. I think they were very good with Moyes for a long time. I know you had your playing banner, but the supporting side, Old Trafford, for David Moyes.
You had your playing. You said that like it was mine, then.
I know you funded it.
I think United fans are quite lenient in that sense, provided A, your players are going out and putting a shift in. And you know, you're playing it in a manner befitting the football club.
I think under Van Gaal, that's where it was probably at its worst. Yeah. To be honest, and I was part of that as well.
Yeah. No, he's the only one I've kind of
played. The worst conduct of a United manager I've ever seen was Mourinho by quite a distance. He was slagging players off, you know, moaning about not having any money, you know, and that mood just transfers immediately. And United are showing now that with a bit of like positivity.
He managed to convince me that all our players were crap.
Exactly.
And obviously, clearly they're not. I mean, there's a few that I don't like.
And what's that going to do to their confidence as well?
And walk away with 15 million or whatever.
No, yeah. Absolutely. But on the same side of that, and I'm not here to defend Mourinho because there's absolutely no point, but all the shite that surrounded him, which we know still isn't right, is still there, isn't it? So is this just a crack papering over some?
Well, listen, the players still, that team has still got some gaps in it. It's not good enough to win the league. It's clearly not at the level of PSG when we played them the other night. It wouldn't be at the level of City and even, I dare say, Liverpool if they went, when they're playing well. But again, that's not down to Solskjaer. That's now down to the board to now back in with the right players. You know, Mourinho's got to take some of the blame for the money he spent. He's still got some money and didn't spend it wisely enough. Solskjaer's going to have to get the same back in this summer. And there should be plenty of money to spend because they didn't spend much last year. And he's going to have to. It's a massive summer for United because for the first time in probably God knows how long, they've got to get the transfer business right this summer. You can't get three players in and go, oh, well, he might be all right in a year and he just needs time. They've got to come in and they've got to hit the ground running in the same way Liverpool's players did. And that's the difference why they've pushed on from fourth.
Yeah,
it's not a tournament this year either, so it's like within a couple of weeks from season ending, they've got to have at least a couple in for me.
We really have to get four. We have to sign four players, don't we? And it'd be really disappointing.
Phil Jones contract is interesting because I can't help thinking they've just done that so they can sell him not on the cheap. I can't honestly.
He was brilliant at Fulham, he played well.
So you think he's worth a 4-year contract based on his?
I think that Chris Marlin and Phil Jones both have a place in United squad, but I don't think they should be playing 50 games for United.
I think 4 years at least guarantees you that at some point Steve Bruce will get a job, and that's the only daft bastard who'll buy. He buys all United's rejects, doesn't he?
But when you've got De Gea, obviously, we clearly need to sort that contract out.
I don't understand why everyone has a go at Chris Marlin and Phil Jones, though, when Marcus Rojo sat in Argentina for half the year. You know, I can't really understand.
They're not far from their testimonial years, are they? But they'll have to book out like Spotland or something. There's no point having it at Old Trafford, is there?
Probably the only one out of the squad I'd go to.
Rojo and Bailey can both fuck off for me.
What I mean. Yeah. These players.
Smalling can't be far off testimonial.
He's about 8 years, I think, this now.
Next year.
About 8 years since he marked Tevez out of a game.
To be fair, he's won a full deck of domestic honours, hasn't he?
Yeah, I'd think in the last couple of years, I think he's put a foot wrong.
He's a vegan as well.
I had someone misering me before, like saying, yeah, but what do you get in Barcelona's squad? And it's like, they've had fucking Thomas Vermaelen for the last 8 years. What the fuck are you talking about?
Who's gone vegan?
He's vegan, Chris Morris.
What, recently?
Yeah.
Last year, was it?
Jesus wept. To be honest, he's all right to dogs, isn't he? He gets a pass out from me. Yeah, Phil Jones needs to start doing some voluntary work at Dogs Trust Denton, and then I might just start saying, yeah, you've deserved your new contract.
Nice plug.
Yeah, indeed. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Not even our own rescue. Now. Just a couple of things looking ahead. Do you see any route back for United against PSG?
No, absolutely no chance. Especially with Pogba out as well. You've got to go there and score three goals.
No, I'd like to see use it to learn a bit because you know they've got some really good midfielders, haven't they?
I just hope they play with a reserve side and it's only 3-0.
Might nick one, but
you don't want to end it up 6 on aggregate though, do you? 6-7, you know. United need to, you know, have a play. For
would it matter, or would that be a nice, almost a get out of jail free reality check that United and the corridors of power need?
Well, listen, you can't run before you can walk, can you? Know we're fifth in the league, sixth in the league. You can't come up against one of the top three or four sides in the world and expect to turn it round that quickly.
The other thing is we come back and play Arsenal away, don't we?
Yeah.
So
one thing to note, though, I mean,
that could be
what's worth reflecting on is, I mean, the difference between PSG and Liverpool. And I know they've played each other this year and Liverpool beat them, but PSG are a miles better team.
I think the Liverpool that we've played today isn't the Liverpool that we're really just tearing it up in sort of September, October time. It's a team that looks like it's emptying.
Well, the thing is, today they're with them as well, though. Again, you looked at them, they like playing in a almost similar to the way United like playing. If you give them space and you attack them, you can leave yourself counter. Where they struggle is trying to break teams down a little bit. Certain they made it very, very easy for United.
Right, last question before we wrap up and do man of the match. Do you take an FA Cup win or fourth?
Oh, FA Cup all day.
Oh, FA Cup, because it'll probably mean beating City as well, won't it?
I definitely would say FA Cup, but then I'm concerned about who you're going to attract in the summer.
We said that last time, didn't we? We bought a lot of players when we was in the Europa League.
FA Cup and Europa League.
Yeah. I'm semi-erect here already at the prospects of the Europa League. Yeah. No, Europa League is not just the guaranteed fixture date, so you just know where you're going to be all year. You know what I mean?
What's the point of being in the Champions League if you know you're not going to win it anyway? What's the point? You might as well be in the World Cup. You're capable of winning.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. I wondered about that. You know, when we was looked like Valencia might push us in the group. I wondered if, you know, for our qualification next year and also our FA Cup, if we'd have been better off going out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, absolutely. What have we got for man of the match then?
Chris Smalling by a mile from
that. I'm giving it McTominay.
Lindelof.
I would say probably one of centre back, but I'll just considering the situation he got himself in, Pogba for me.
Well, interesting. No votes for Lukaku there, which I thought was quite a shock. But I'm going Lindelof. I thought he was just outstanding today. But I think
some player, isn't
he is, yeah. And certainly a lot of people who were doubting him, and I was definitely one of them, have been made to look a bit daft now. So
he turns slower than milk, but he is quite good.
But even that side of it, I actually think he sorted that out. He seems to be a lot more alert now. I don't think it was a speed thing; it was an alertness thing. He was half asleep, but he just seemed
aggression.
To be.
He started like putting his body in and against strikers, and really, you know, even when their strikers have got the back to goal, he goes through them to get the ball. Yeah. And I just think he's since Glenn Murray gave him the run around in August, I just think he's added an aggressive side to his game. He's realised he's got to start using his body.
God, that day at Brighton, I forgot all about that. Yeah, it does all of those pretty dark days, early doors of the season, do seem now quite far away, so that can't necessarily be a bad thing. Right, next podcast, Crystal Palace. No idea who's doing that one because I'm not bothering going. So we'll be are we here next weekend?
Yeah.
So we'll be back next weekend. But until then, hope you've enjoyed the result, and we'll see you next time.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.